Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Come on. Yeah. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Come on. Let's give Jesus a big hand. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, God. Awesome. Thank you so much. It's always a joy to be at Church of the King because it feels like I'm at home when I'm at Church of the King. It's awesome. I'm so proud of you guys. As Pastor Jason said, we've been watching and really a part of what God is doing here for the last 8 years. How many of you remember the high school days? Man, God's been good to you. He has, and I'm proud of you guys continuing to take ground here in Katy, Texas. Your team, every time we come, it's just, it's family. That's what it is. It's like receiving family into your home. They're so honoring and so generous. And I just want to say that's really the heart of this house, which is really the heart of your pastor and his wife, Miss Stephanie. And so can you do me a favor? Can we honor your pastors for just a second? They're awesome. I love you guys, brothers. So, so good. And as I was getting ready to start today, there's a couple of Grace Creek people in the house. Come on, maybe ex-Grace Creek people. We got Paul. Come on, Kayla, she's over here. It's awesome. It's like family. It's a family reunion. And if you're ever in the East Texas area, right on I-20 between Dallas and Shreveport, Louisiana, that's where Grace Creek Church is. We share the vision, reaching people, building lives. So if you're ever there, it'll feel like you're at home. It will. I got a picture of my family I want to just throw up there. That way, if I'm no good, you'll be like, well, at least God blessed him with a good-looking wife. Come on, good-looking kids. That's Miss B right there in the middle. And then my oldest, Max, is 23. Lexi is 22. McCade, who looks, I don't know what he looks like. Come on, he's got like a little European flow going on there. Come on, he's 19, all loving Jesus and serving the church, and God's been good. Aren't you thankful for your family? Yes. Man, I'm thankful for mine. I am. Well, we're going to continue our series that we started last week called The Names of God, and I'm going to talk to you about Jehovah Shalom today. Jehovah means God or the Lord. Shalom means, does anyone know what it means?
Peace.
Peace. That's exactly right. Last night, it says it right there. Y'all are smart. Last night, there was a spelling mistake there, and it said peach. People were laughing while I was preaching, and that's no fair, man. When a guest is in preaching, and people start laughing, and then they laughed again, and I'm like, what is it? What are we laughing at? And it said peach. So God's not our peach. Come on, somebody. He is our, say it, peace. We serve a God of peace, and even better yet, he gives us his peace. He gives us his peace. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a powerful miracle in the life of Jesus. We're going to talk about storms in our life, and we're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about this shalom of God. If you're new to Christianity, maybe you're here today just checking it out, or you're watching online and you're like, I'm not sure about all of this. Well, let me just tell you something. All throughout the scriptures and really all throughout Christian history, you can see that miracles have always been a part of anyone's life that's a follower of Jesus. It's right and it should be a part. And so we're going to talk about miracles. What is a miracle? And if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do so because it's going to help you this week in your small groups or as you just kind of rethink over the message today, what was God saying to me? Take some notes down. Miracle. Here's what a miracle is by definition. An extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human and natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause, a miracle. I wonder if anyone here has ever seen a miracle take place in your family, in your life. And I know I'm not your pastor, and you may be looking at me going, does this guy believe in miracles? And the answer is absolutely yes. I believe that God still does miracles today. Hey, this church you're sitting in is a miracle. This wasn't always here. God used your faithfulness to perform a miracle here to reach this region for the cause of Christ. And I just want to say, I'm proud of you, and God's proud of you too, the people of Church of the King, Katy. Jesus says that miracles not only should be, but can be a part of your everyday life. Hey, I did it, and I want you to do it too. That's what Jesus said. In John 14, in verse 12, here's what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Is there anyone here that believes in him? Yes. Okay, 17 of us. Anybody else? Okay, good. He who believes in me, watch this, the works that I do, he will do also. He will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. And so my prayer for you today is that you'll leave here today inspired by God and inspired by the Word of God to pray for and to see miracles take place in your daily life, in your family, in your job, in your finances, in your health. Let me remind you that God was never intended to fit in a constructed man-made box. I mean, what kind of God is it if our minds can wrap around it? Are you with me? He's bigger. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And God has always wanted to do way beyond anything you could hope, ask, think, or imagine. He's a supernatural God, and he's always wanted to be a supernatural God in your life. And you may, that may jack with you a little bit. You may go, I don't know how that fits in my life. But listen to me. If you're a part of this house, it's a part of the fabric of this home. Man, I know your pastors. I know them well, and we believe in the miracle working power of God. Does anybody else believe in the miracle working power of God? And the truth is, most of us in the room could use a couple of miracles. Anybody with me on that one? It's like, man, if God's handing them out, man, I need one here and I need one there. And if you've walked with Jesus any length of time, you know that, man, he has a history of healing blind people and healing the lepers, those with disease, and raised people from the dead and walked on water. And then one time he fed a multitude of people with a couple of French loaves and a couple of black and red fish. Praise God. Had a little New Orleans touch on him. He sure did. And in John 14, the passage we just read, Jesus is basically telling his followers, don't be wowed by all the cool things you're seeing me do. Don't just be wowed by those things. The only reason I'm doing these things is to really set a pattern for how I want you to live. And the things that you see me do, greater things will you do because I go to my Father. And so with that said, how are we as Christ followers, and I'll just make that caveat, I am talking to those of you that are Christ followers for the next few moments. How are we as Christ followers supposed to walk in this supernatural power and peace of God, the shalom of God, if there's no peace in here? Are you with me? How do we operate that way? How do we function if there's a storm in our hearts? It's just raging inside. How can we walk side by side with Jehovah Shalom, God, my peace? Let's look at one of the greatest miracles that I see Jesus do. If anyone's seen The Chosen, there's a picture of this in there. It's awesome. It's Jesus calming the storm on the sea with the disciples. If you've got a Bible, we'll be in Mark chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there if you can. If you don't have a Bible, everything's going to be on the screen here behind me, and you can follow along. I'm going to start in verse 35. Verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, so this is Jesus talking to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the crowds, the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against that boat, and it was already filling up with water. Come on, the bilge pump was broke. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, we can fall in a habit of just reading scripture like I did, just like text and quick and just read it. But I want to encourage you, the power is slowing down. Look at it, observe it, apply it to your life, and let's see God do something. So that's what we want to do for just a few moments. So let's dive into it. The disciples find themselves in this crazy situation right in the middle of a windstorm. Now, think about this. Everything's fine, then all of a sudden, this storm blows in. Man, I wonder if any in the room have ever had a moment like that where everything was fine, and out of nowhere, a storm blew into your life, and it was like, what is happening right now? What is going on? Where did this come from? Their whole world is turning upside down. Now some of them are professional fishermen. They know this lake. They know this body of water. This is not the first time they've been in bad weather. And so for them to say what they said to Jesus, it gives you a picture of how bad it was. I mean, they're in the boat. There's 12 of them in there, which it's a small boat. That's a bunch of guys in a small boat. And they're panicking because they're thinking this could be it. We're going down. We're not going to make it to the other side. Some of you think that about the storm you're in right now. That's a lie from the enemy. You're going to make it to the other side. But they panicked and they're freaking out. This could be the end. That's what they're thinking. That's what I would be thinking. If I'm going to say to Jesus, don't you care that I'm dying? Then the natural thoughts are, this is how it's going to end. I'm not going to get to say bye to my wife. I'm not going to say bye to my kids. I'm not going to say bye to my friends, my parents. This is it. That's what's flashing through these guys' mind in that moment. And now a lot of people, if you're like a lot of people, you might be thinking, if there's a storm blowing in your life right now, you might be thinking, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. Where is God in this? Where's Jesus at? He's with me, I know it, but man, these storms that are blowing in my life, they shouldn't be happening. You know, a lot of people think that. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, this shouldn't be happening. And I don't know where we get that theology from, but it's not in the Bible. Are you with me? It's not. In fact, if I would have passed the mic around this room to some of you that have been a believer more than 2 weeks, you might go, hey, let me just tell you. When I said yes to Jesus and I started living for him, it's like a target was drawn on my back. And that's the truth. Because of the enemy of our soul who hates you, he wants to cripple anything that lifts up the name of Jesus. And if you're one of those that lifts up the name of Jesus, you got a target on your back. And so let's not think that just because we're a Christ follower that we're exempt from storms in our lives. And so I want to just, you ask yourself the question, what storms am I facing right now? And if you're not, praise God. Praise God that you're not facing a storm right now. But the truth is, all of us in this room at some point, we're going to face one. We're going to walk through a storm. Maybe it's job-related, marriage, health, finances. My prayer, and I've been praying for you this week, is that the Spirit of God, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, would speak to you today, and he would speak to the storms in your life. He'd build your faith, and you'd walk out of here with a different level of faith in the Lord today. That's my prayer. As we're talking about these storms, let's think about some truths about storms, okay? Three truths to remember, whether you're in a storm right now or you're about to face one or in the future, it's good to know these things. Three truths for the believer about storms. The first one is this. Number one, God knew you would be in it. I want you to think about that for just a second. God knew that you would be in this storm. Even before you were born, he knew that you'd be walking through this at this moment in this season of your life. And I'll show you where I'm getting this from. Verse 35, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Who said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side? Jesus. Say it out loud. Jesus. Are you seeing this? I know your pastor answered me, but is anybody else seeing this? Yeah. Jesus said, let's go. Let's go over to the other side. So check this out. This was Jesus's idea, this trip. He's the Son of God. Surely he knew there was a storm coming, right? Surely he did. And so you could conclude that the disciples are in the boat in the middle of this storm, not because they're outside of the will of God, but because they're in the will of God, because they're following the direction of Jesus. Jesus is in this boat with them. And so in the storm that you may be facing right now or the one that may be coming in the future, you may say, I wish I wasn't here. Kind of like the guys did in the boat. We're dying here. This is terrible. I wish I wasn't here, but I want to speak to your heart. God knew you would be there. There's some shalom in that. There's some peace in that. And the next thought is, well, how did this happen? Where did this storm come from? Let me give you three sources of storms in our life, okay? Three sources of storms. The first one could be poor decisions. Has anybody ever made a poor decision? Yeah, come on, we're in good company today. And we know how those things work. We make a dumb decision and bam, now we've got consequences that we have to deal with. Yes, you're forgiven because of the cross of Jesus, but there's always consequences to our actions and to our words. We've got to walk them out. And so sometimes it's just poor decisions. Another possibility, if you're a follower of Jesus, is it could just be the devil. Like, for real, there's not a devil behind every bush. I'm not that guy. But if you are following Jesus and you're trying to live right and you're reading your Bible and you're telling people about your faith, chances are good the enemy's got his eye on you. And what you're walking through simply could just be an attack of the enemy on your life. Okay, let's not pretend that it's not real, because it absolutely is. And another source could simply be that we live in a fallen world. Man, we do. You guys ever watch TV, the news? You ever do life with any real people? Like, we live in a broken world that is marred by sin. And Jesus is the one that says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, tribulation. And then he says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And man, what a comforting word from our Savior today. There's the peace of God right there. A comforting word from Jesus. Well, what about sickness, Pastor? Does God cause that? It's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that God knew that this was going to be a problem. I am saying that God knew that this was going to be a storm in your life. I don't believe God puts disease on people to teach them a lesson. That's not the God that we serve. So God didn't cause the storm. He didn't cause what's going on. But in my experience, he absolutely will use the storm to show his power and to show his glory in and through your life. Watch this. If, everyone say if. Yes. If we respond properly. Yes. If we respond like a follower of Jesus in the storms. There's no storm that you're going to go through that takes Jesus by surprise. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that leads me to the next point. I've already kind of touched on it. Number two, Jesus is with you in the storm. He is with you. Never forget that. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He's with you no matter what you're walking through. Let's go back to verse 38. This is my favorite line in this story. But he was in the stern asleep. It could have stopped there, but it didn't. It goes on to say, on a pillow. I like that because it paints a picture, doesn't it? It's like when I get on a plane. I hate traveling on planes, you know, and I'm the guy that's got like the noise canceling headphones on. I may even put a mask on if it's a long flight. I may get some smelling something out there because it stinks in a plane every now and then. And it's like, don't talk to me. I want to pretend I'm not here and I want to get to the other side. And he might look asleep. So it's not that. He didn't look asleep. He's on a pillow. Number one, what's a pillow doing in a boat? Are you with me? He's out. Jesus is like, he is out. He's not waking up. And the disciples, they're freaking out. They're going nuts. But Jesus wasn't. Don't miss this. They're freaking out, but he's not. Do you realize that God never has to call an emergency meeting in heaven? When he sees something that you're going through, God never goes, well, number one, what would he say in that moment? Would he say, oh my me? Oh myself. He never has to go, get the Holy Spirit in here. Man, we got a problem. I didn't see this coming. I can't believe their kid did that. I can't believe that business partner said that. I can't believe they was posted about. God never has a moment where he panics and he was taken by surprise. In the middle of the storm that you're facing, think about this. Though unseen, Jesus was in the stern. Though unseen, he was with them in the storm. If you're in a storm right now, let me speak to your soul. He's with you in the storm. Shalom, peace. The peace of God is yours. Though unseen, God is with you. There's a great verse, and even if you're new to a church environment, and if you are new today to this church environment, you're the kind of person that's like, man, I don't really do church. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to this church. This is a safe environment for you to learn who Jesus is, and I want you to stay coming, okay? But even if you're not really used to the Bible or church, chances are good maybe an aunt or a grandmother had this passage on their wall somewhere. It's Psalm 23. How many of you know Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You are with me. Shalom. Peace. The peace of God. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Shalom. Shalom. Yes, you're in a storm. Yes, God knew it would happen, but you're in the storm. And if you're a follower of Jesus, though unseen, he's in the boat. He's in the boat. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let you go. You're not alone. Am I speaking to anyone today? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And I speak the peace of God over your life today. All right, come on. Good. Number three, if you're taking notes, and this is my favorite. God grows us in those storms. Man, I don't know about you, but it seems like God has me in storms sometimes. Again, he didn't cause it. Maybe he allowed it, but whatever. But probably because of my stubbornness sometimes. It's the only way you can get my attention. Any of you kind of moving so fast that God has to go, hello, hold on just a second. And so God does things in storms in my life and in your life that he can't do any other way, because storms tend to have a tendency to drive us to our knees, right? And so I want you to think about the disciples in the boat that day. They're they're facing one of life's greatest fears for a lot of people, and that's the fear of death, the fear of dying. Do you not care, Lord, that we're dying here? We're about to perish. That's what they said in verse 38. If you'll put that up for us, you can see it. And so that's what's happening in here. We're about to die. Do you not care, God? Do you not care what I'm dealing with right here? I want you to think about the journey of the disciples' life post this moment. Because there's something powerful that takes place in here, in their hearts, because they're afraid of dying. Are you tracking with me? Okay, so in a few moments, they're gonna see Jesus calm the storm. It's amazing, it's awesome. And then they're gonna see him do all these other things. Then they're gonna see him crucified. Then they're gonna see him raised from the dead. We're going to celebrate that in a few weeks for Easter weekend. And through all of that experience, from the boat to Easter, right? God's doing something in the lives of these followers of Jesus, these disciples, that, man, they were terrified to die in this boat situation. But man, 10 of them, by the end of this, they're willing to lay their life down for Jesus. Like, don't miss what God did in their hearts on this journey. The biggest thing that was the biggest stronghold in their life, I don't want to die. Don't you care, God? The fear of death, they became free of on the journey. They became free of the things that was holding them back. And so God did more than just the miracle of calming the storm on the water. He calmed the storm in their heart, because there was one. Some of you can relate. I know I can sometimes, to what the disciples were feeling when that storm blew in out of nowhere. It's like, okay, God, SOS. Man, help. I need your help. We're in trouble. I don't see you. Where are you at, God? Where are you? And I want to speak to those of you that have been walking with Jesus for a while. Have you ever gone through any other storms? I want you to look back at them, and I want you to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You didn't get here by yourself. He set you free last time. He delivered you last time. He's going to do it again this time. The storm will pass. You will get to the other side. Maybe that's why James says in James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 2 through 4, he says this, my brethren, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's such a funny verse. It's always one that makes me laugh a little bit. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I remember one of the first times as an adult that I read that. You know, it's a great scripture to give someone if they're going through some trouble. It's not really one you want to hear, though, is it? You know, it's like, count it what? Joy? Okay. How's that work? Count it joy when you face trials. Okay, I got a praise report. Man, all hell's breaking loose, and I'm just excited about it. It's like, what life are we talking about here? Like, you realize that as followers of Jesus, we have a different path to walk than those that don't know him. Yes. We have a different path to walk. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It develops patience. And patience must do what? It must finish its work. It must complete the task to make you mature, to make you complete, to make you lacking nothing as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Here's the miracle, okay? The disciples, they're freaking out. You don't care, God. You don't care, Jesus. We're falling apart. Watch the shalom enter the boat right here. It's awesome. Here it is, verse 39. Then he arose. He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace, shalom, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So Jesus stands up and chews the storm out. Peace, shalom, be quiet, be still. Peace, be still. And as I've been praying for you this week and knowing that I was going to be here with you today, I just want to speak to your heart again. There are those of you I know that God is going to speak to the storm in your life the same way Jesus did. Peace be still. Shalom be still. Stop what you're doing right now. Stop blowing up against my son. Stop blowing up against my daughter. What does that look like, Pastor? He's going to heal you. He's going to heal your relationship. He's going to miraculously provide for you in a way that you could only say, that was God. I have no idea how that happened. God did that. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to speak to the storm that you might be facing, and he's going to say, peace be still. Now, I've lived long enough as a follower of Jesus to know that it doesn't always work that way. And so some of you, you may be in a storm, and it may continue to go on for some time. And in the meantime, he will say, I'm telling you, he will say to your heart, peace be still. Peace be still. Shalom, the God of peace, will wrap his arms around your heart. In other words, be patient. Be patient. Let patience have its perfect work. The storm will stop. It will cease. I promise you it will. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes he calms his child. Sometimes it's you that he calms. What if the greatest miracle that you see in this season of your life is having faith and the peace of God, the shalom of God, while everything's falling apart around you? What a testimony that is to those that don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, they'll see it. And they'll go, I don't know what it is that you have, but if that was me, I'd be falling apart. You have something different. What is it? Shalom. The peace of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Be still and know that He is God. Jehovah Shalom. He's with you. And you know what you need to do in those moments? Man, a great posture is to not get on your knees, humble yourself, worship Him, praise Him. Man, I'm so thankful for the incredible worship environment that you have here in this church. You know, you can create that environment in your home. Like you can. There's nothing special about us that stand up here. We just know how to encourage people to press into Jesus. And I want to encourage you to press into Him in your home, in the secret, in the quiet place. It doesn't have to be reserved for an hour on a Sunday or on a Saturday. And if you don't know what to do, get some worship music on. Just get it playing in your house. Get your Bible. Get on your knees. Jesus, I need you. I know you're here. It's not, God, you've left me. It's, I know you're here. I know you're here. I need you to speak to the storm, or I need you to speak to my heart. And if you don't know what worship music to play, ask somebody. Ask somebody in the tech booth. Ask one of these worship leaders up here. Find someone. They'll tell you, hey, get this, 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 and this, and just play it. Just play it in your house. And you will bring the presence of God that you feel here into your home in Jesus' name. And I'm praying that when you do that, there's a peace of God, the shalom of God, that covers your home, that covers your house. After Jesus speaks to the storm, He turns to His followers and He looks at them and He said, what's the deal? What's going on? Why are you so afraid? He says to them. He said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? So perhaps you're here or you're watching online somewhere today, and you're listening to me and you're like, Pastor, that's me. The waves are crashing up against my life, my marriage, my finances, my kids, and whatever it is. I speak the peace of God over it. The shalom of God, Jehovah, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. I'm speaking His name over your situation today. And Jesus, the Son of God, He's the giver of peace. That's why you got to know Jesus. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus says to His followers in John 14, I'll finish with this thought. He said, peace I leave with you. So this is right before He's going to heaven, right? And He said, peace I leave with you. Then He says something to help us get what He's saying. He says, my peace I give to you. Come on, if there's anyone that knows how to do this peace thing, surely it's got to be Jesus. And Jesus says, the peace that I have, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. And I don't give as the world gives, so let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid, because I'm with you and I'm giving you the peace that I have. Jesus is speaking to us. He's saying, Shalom. The God of peace. Jehovah Shalom, speaking over your lives. Your situation may not change overnight. Your circumstances may not change overnight. But the one thing that might be missing in your heart is the peace of God. It's the reason God brought you here today, to hear this moment, to hear this message. You need to allow the peace of God to surround you, because it will protect you from the wind and from the waves. And we're not afraid, because Jesus is in the boat with us. And as believers, let's remember that anxiety has to bow the knee to Jesus. Depression has to bow the knee to Jesus. Fear has to bow the knee to Jesus. Lack has to bow the knee to Jesus. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's the truth. So may the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, be with you today as you walk out of this place. Let me pray for you. Father, I'm thankful for our time together today. We're thankful for your word, as we've spent a few moments today just kind of studying the why behind the story and reading between the lines. We're so grateful for your word. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're in our boat with us. If we're a follower of Jesus, you need not be afraid when life's storms blow in. We just need to trust in you. So help us with that, God. Those of us that are followers of Christ, help us to put our trust in you in those moments and not to question your faithfulness to us, because you are faithful. It's who you are. And so I speak peace over every home, every marriage, every family. that comes to Church of the King in Katy. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Hey, just with every head bowed for a moment, before I finish, I want to just give some of you an opportunity to respond to Jesus if you know that Jesus is not in your boat. And the only way he'd be there is if you asked him to be there. And by boat, I mean your life. Like, you got to invite Jesus to be there. He's not just going to show up. You got to say, I need you to come into my heart. I want you to be the captain of my life. Man, I'd love to pray for you. Pastor Jason will come up in just a second and give you some instructions. But man, I'd love to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus, you want to pray that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but just slip your hand up so I know who I'm talking to and who I'm praying for. I'd love to pray for you. And then we're done. Anybody around this room right now? Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, that's me. I want to do that. Thank you, sir. I got you. Good. Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I want to do that. Okay, if you're watching online and you want to say yes, then just say it out loud right now. Say yes to Jesus, and I want you to pray this prayer with us. Our whole church is going to pray together, and I want you to pray wherever you're at home, in a hotel somewhere. Pray this out loud with us right now. Church of the King, would you pray with us out loud? We're going to join our faith together. We're going to join our volume together. Come on. We're going to pray. Several people just raise their hand to ask Jesus to come into their heart. If you're one of them, make this your prayer right now. Say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So today, I invite you in. Thank you for dying in my place on the cross. For my sins, I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for your love and your peace in my life. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate those people right now. Come on. God bless you.